In this episode, I sit down with Poesis, an artist specializing in color realism, but unlike any other. She's found a unique style that absolutely shines in every piece, and she's only been tattooing for a few years. It's so inspiring watching her be able to connect with her clients and design something specific for each person's story. Poesis is an artist who genuinely cares about the work that she does. And you can see that for yourself. Check out her Instagram. It's at poesis_tattoo. My name is Jake Berry, and this is The Fine Line. So tell me how you got into tattooing.
Well, I was always like into art, and I've always been practicing art ever since I can remember myself, which is kind of the story for a lot of artists. I just didn't know like the right direction and the motif that I want to go with. Not motif, like the medium, the medium that I want to go with.
Your family is full of artists, right?
Yeah, so both of my grandparents, from both of the sides, they do all kind of artistic things. Mm-hmm. So both of my grandmother know to paint. And also, like, side note, interesting, Poesis is not my real name. My name is Shira. And Shira means poetry. And my grandfather used to call me Poesis when I was young because it's poetry in ancient Greek. He's Greek.
Amazing.
And he, like, an archaeologist, and he was very like occupying with this. So
did you have this name? Obviously that's where you got the name for your Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
And so did he call you that for?
He used to call me Poesis when I was young. Yeah.
That's sweet.
And when I had to find like a name for, I didn't want to use my personal name.
Sure.
Because it felt very personal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always, ever since I was like very little, I used to paint and do artistic things, and everyone was like, oh, she's gonna be an artist.
Mm.
So I never questioned it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like very, it was just there, and it was a gift that I had, and it was something that I was very confident in my life. Like, it was the one thing that I've always been confident at. So, it was just obvious, I would say.
And at what point did tattooing start to become?
Yeah, so I got my second tattoo from Kozo. And I was just amazed by the details and the colors. And it just met with the art that I knew, that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw that and it amazed me, and I was like, wow, and I looked at my tattoo and I was like, this is amazing.
Mm.
And I remember I sat down with my sister for a coffee in like our favorite coffee shop in Tel Aviv, and I was like, check my new tattoos, and we got to talk, and I was like, what would I do with my life? I don't know, should I go learn? Should I just paint? Like, what should I do? And then she was like, why won't you just be a tattoo artist? She had a friend, which is actually quite funny. Her name is Shani Nitzan. She's now also in New York. And she knew my sister. And my sister was like, yeah, she do all those things. And she travels and she makes her art. And I was like, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this is it. It just all the puzzle pieces fitted together.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I think that happened to a lot of artists in the last like few years even, you know, where I feel like the more that tattoos kind of like broke out of the limits of what everyone knew tattooing to be like, the more tattoo artists we started to see enter the industry.
Yeah.
Because like everyone started seeing like, oh wow, you can do this, okay, well I'm on board for that, you know, like,
yeah.
And which is cool, because like, you know, and then the more that happens, the more you get new artists that are bringing new things to the table, and they start breaking the ceiling of what's
exactly
possible. So then it's like this, I think it's the same thing with a lot of things, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, like musicians as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, in the 80s you had like the typical like rock star, and it was like,
yeah,
you know, they were like touring the world and doing crazy drugs and like just going nuts.
Right, yeah.
And now it's like, obviously that still exists, but now you have like, you know, just like musicians that are like, this is my business and I'm just like working really hard and I want to like,
yeah,
succeed.
True.
And you see that in like all different artistic industries now.
Yeah, that's true. But I think with tattooing, it's, I actually think because maybe it just progressed in the last years, I still think it's still like this.
You
in
still
a
have
sense.
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think in some way, a lot of tattoo artists are still the misfits.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're still a little bit the misfits, and we're still like, yeah, even in the art world, we're still like not considered like a true art form.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And I really want to break this barrier between the art world and maybe the fine art to tattoos, because I think today we have many tattoo artists that really do their art, like solely their art, but they're still not considered to be a part of the art industry.
Why do you think that is?
Because I think that we still have maybe in the world a little bit of perception of maybe tattoos are kind of
taboo.
Of course, they're not like cosmetic thing, but they're still like
like a service job?
Yeah, like a service.
Yeah, yeah.
In a way.
It's not like full creative liberty.
Yeah, but even an artist who paints or someone who makes sculptures or a photographer, they still have, most of the work is for other people,
yeah,
in a
I know
way.
What you mean, yeah.
Someone orders a painting, someone yeah. order like a photography session or whatever.
Yeah.
And with tattoos is the same. Like sometimes you do your own things and what you want to do, if it's flash or someone gives you full liberty to do whatever you want. And sometimes you do what the client wants.
Yeah.
But for some reason, we're still not considered true artists.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, let's talk about that, because what you do is obviously like not your typical tattoo. I feel like, you know, whatever that means, a typical tattoo, but you are bringing your art to the tattoo. There's no doubt about that. Like what you have in your tattoos is very, it's very unique to you. You know, so like that's nice. And I think like that makes it your art, like kind of what to your point, I think that makes it your art, you know, as opposed to someone who's like, I want, you know, and there's nothing wrong with this, just to line that up. But someone who's like, I just want like a lion, you know, and it's like, they might do an amazing lion and they're amazing. They're an amazing artist, but they might not be bringing their art to that tattoo. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's when it becomes more of a service job in times like that, which is like, you know, amazing as well. Like I do a lot of that as well. Like I want a portrait of my dog, you know, and I'm, to me, I'm not necessarily bringing my art to that, but I'm bringing my skills to that. And this is something we've talked about before. And it's great to hear your perspective on that, because I actually do quite enjoy that a lot, but I also am transitioning into this time where I'm trying to bring more of my art into my tattoos. But I have a huge respect for what you do and what you bring to your tattoos, because they're all so like unique and you obviously put tons of work and effort into each piece. So can you tell me a little bit about your process and how you go about that?
It's interesting because not too long ago, I didn't even think about it, about the process. But then I had to answer like a few interviews like a month or 2 months ago, and I started to actually write everything down. And I was like, oh, like I started to figure out and to really
Made to think.
Yeah, not like made to think, because obviously I think about it all the time, but put into words exactly what I do, it was an interesting process.
Yeah.
So, of course, someone comes to me and they send us an inquiry, and they usually send a very personal story or a very personal experience. Usually it's something that they already dealt with. So it's something that they dealt with and they are kind of over it, and they want to commemorate it or to remind it or to interpret it into an image in some way. Sometimes it's a story that they're going through right now. So we had like variety of experiences. Mm-hmm. And sometimes someone just comes to me and say, I like your art, right?
Oh, that's cool.
So that's also something that can happen. But I sit with them and I have a consultation with each client. I never give that consultation up. It's very unimportant and crucial part of the process for me, because in that consultation, which I give like a full hour to each client, we kind of pick apart their story. Mm. And we talk it over, and I'm trying to understand their perspectives on it. Mm-hmm. And their feelings on it, and through this story I also learning about them. Of course I can't assume to know who the person is, but it helps me like figure out where they come from and mm-hmm. what that can bring up. It's very important for me to let the space for the client to be heard and seen. So again, this part is very crucial. Sometimes even the consultation is more impactful than the tattoo itself, mm-hmm. I would say, because there is really like a moment of true vulnerability and sharing and listening. And I would say also about that part that I'm always so amazed by my clients, how they are so vulnerable. Mm. Like, I'm a complete stranger. And of course, we have like, it's a means to an end, because they need to share their story for me to make the design for them. But it's still, I am like preaching for it, for them to be vulnerable and to share for me, and how vulnerability is so important in part of being a human. Mm-hmm. And to connect between humans. But it's still something that I'm not sure that I'm able to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So seeing people do it over and over again, it gives me so much inspiration, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty amazing. I mean, like, I could imagine that would get very heavy for you, though.
Surprisingly, it's very rarely very heavy for me.
I think I struggle with that kind of, when someone feels comfortable enough to, especially a stranger. I think like if it's a friend or someone I'm starting to get to know, and you know, you have moments of opening up to each other, but I find sometimes I struggle with other people's struggles. Like, I have a hard time taking it on.
Do you feel like pain, or do you feel like...
I feel...
Like, what does it make you feel?
Overwhelmed by it. Like, I feel like it becomes heavy. And, like, I've noticed that maybe that has even influenced my direction in tattooing. Mm-hmm. Where maybe in the beginning of my career, I noticed that there was a lot of people sharing very vulnerable stories and very... you know, personal things. And I remember feeling like, wow, this is so intense, you know, and I don't know, this is probably going back into, I don't even know if I'll keep this in, but this is going back to probably like, I don't know why I'm like this, but it's like.
But what you're just doing is the essence of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like you saying, like you taking a moment to explore a certain behavior of you, or a certain habit or something in your life in general, and saying like, hey, maybe this thing is going deeper. Maybe I should take a moment to look at it. That's the whole beauty of that thing.
Yeah, totally.
Like, of course, not everything is like this deep thing, right? Maybe just it's not something that you want to do in your life, which is totally okay to take in people's stories. Mm. It can be very hard. But it's a good question to ask. Why is it hard for me to ask?
Yeah, yeah, right.
To hear those things.
Right.
So I just wanted to take a moment and say how beautiful it was just now for you to realize that. And I don't think you should take it out.
Okay. Yeah, maybe not. But I mean, I just think that, like, I don't even know if it's a compassion thing, really, or a kind thing. Maybe it is. But I think it's like, I just notice, and you're right, self-reflection is hard. Like, when you start wondering, why do I do this? Why is this hard for me? Why am I But, you know, for me, I feel like I have a hard time separating from people's stories. Or I think a lot of people can, like, hear a story, hear someone's story, their experience, and have compassion and be like, oh, man, that must have been hard. And be able to, like, not let it sit with them. And sometimes I think it's, like, it, like, exhausts me or something. I'm just, mm-hmm. like, worn out after hearing someone's struggles, like, or something very personal that happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for a long time, I used to think it was, like, actually a lack of compassion, where it was, like, I was just, like, uninterested in other people's struggle. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's what it is. I think it's just, like, it's heavy. That's the only way I can explain it. I am going to take this out. But I think it's, like, it's heavy. It's, like, it's almost like when, if you were doing any other job that wasn't artistic, and someone at work was, like, just all of a sudden telling you these really personal, difficult things, it would be like, oh my gosh, like...
But why? Like, why? I respect that.
Yeah.
I really respect that. Mm. But at the same time, imagine a world where we wouldn't shy away from that, and that it wouldn't scare us. Like, how beautiful would it be for you as a person to come into work and be able... And you're having a really hard time, and be able to come in and share with people that you work with and see every day. Why do we tend to be so afraid of it?
It's a good question.
And I think what I do really touches this subject, because I really want to have more space for these hard things. Mm. We live in a world where... we tend to keep them away, or to keep them hidden, or not to show them. And like, why? Mm. Just why? You know?
Yeah.
It's like we're afraid of being vulnerable because we're afraid someone will use it against us, or we will be, like, exposed. But why is it so bad being exposed? Why do we... why do we, like, worship mystery and, like, darkness and, like, this, and just these hidden things, you know?
That's interesting. That brings me to two questions.
Yeah.
One, I want to share something that you said yesterday, which was that you find that that most people that are coming to you with these stories, you know, at the root of all these stories that you're hearing from people, it's very similar. Like, it's a very similar feeling that they're all sharing.
Yeah.
But it might be coming from different places, and they all have different individual unique places that they're coming from.
Right.
But I think the reason why we can relate to them all is because we all, at the root of it, feel that same feeling.
Yeah. I really believe that the base of our existence is our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people try to keep them afar, be realistic, but at the end of the day, when you go to bed, you sit with how you feel and not with, like, your realistic thoughts, right? This is my perspective on it, and things happens to us through our life that changes those feelings and, like, morph them into all kind of things. And every decision that you make in your life, at the end of the day, is based on a feeling, right? If you need to decide on road A or road B, you choose it because it's in your heart, or because you're afraid not to go in another direction, right?
Interesting, yeah.
So... I don't think it's enough to hear a story and be like, oh, yeah, you're feeling fear and anxiety and you're also happy.
Right.
No. If I want to connect and if I want to really get to know you, I want to listen to your story. I want you to share with me, because I want to get to know you.
Yeah.
I want to know, like, because if this thing happened to you, then this thing comes with a set of... way of thoughts or of our feelings or behaviors, mm-hmm. right? And that's mm-hmm. how I get to know you more. And I know it sounds very like technical how I explain it right now. It's not like a technical thing, or I don't do it like in a manipulated way to know the person yeah, yeah, yeah. in front of me. But I just think it's very important, you know? It's mm-hmm. like a whole being, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
That you want to understand and to connect, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to follow up with another question. Like, what are some of the challenges you think you have faced throughout your career?
I mean, really, the difficulties that I was put through are not really connected to this part of my career. Like, I would say my most difficulty was starting kind of on my own. Mm. Because tattooing and going through those days, it can get difficult because, again, I tattoo till very late and I have these really full days. And I won't sit here and say it easy, but it also comes naturally and it's kind of obvious for me to do it in a way. So I wouldn't say it is a difficulty.
So when you say it was hard to, because you were starting on your own.
Yeah. So I learned, I had the amazing opportunity to learn from Koza when I started. Mm. I was able to sit with him one-on-one. But it was a very, very short time because he was just coming back from New York. So I sat with him for like 2-3 weeks. That was my whole apprenticeship. And as much as it was like amazing and gave me like a really big start, I don't think it's enough to learn like the whole like tattooing yeah. and everything around. Yeah. So I kind of started on my own in a way. Everything that I have now, I learned by myself. And I think that was very difficult.
What were some of the things that you felt like you were, that you needed more guidance in? Like, what were some of the areas that you feel like you could have used that mentor?
I would say like someone to sit next to me and like, for a long period of time and with the techniques and everything. And
so more of the technical side of things.
Yeah, more of the technical side. I would say that being on my own and jumping into deep waters really gave me, like I consciously made the decision to have my own path and to not go to other artists and learn from someone else, but to make kind of my own way.
Yeah.
And that really helped me to always take the next step. It really helped me to create my own process, my own art, like my own tattoo style.
Yeah.
And my own like kind of way of tattooing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I was self-taught too, and I had to figure out things as I went, and that's not an easy way to learn. You know
what
I mean?
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Where did you learn from? Just like from
my
internet?
Trial and error. I didn't even look up
the
internet.
Oh yeah, you told me you were tattooing friends,
I was
right?
tattooing my friends, yeah. Like, I mean, I probably could have learned some things on the internet. But when I was starting, like, I didn't care. I wasn't interested in tattooing.
That's
I had like the opposite experience where I was just like, I'll just tattoo some of my friends. Yeah, sure, I'll tattoo my friends. And then their friends were like, can you tattoo me too? And I'm like, sure, you know. And then it just started happening. And I was like, oh, I can kind of do this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason in my head, I was never... It's because, I'll tell you why. It's because I was so focused on something else. I was so focused on music. I wanted to make music. That was like my life. That was everything for me. That tattooing was just like... It was just like back here, like, hey, you want to do me tattoo? I'm like, okay, sure. But like, I spent all my time and energy and focus on music. So it wasn't until like some time into it where I was like, geez, okay, this is like getting more serious, you know, like it's just continuing to grow and I have business from it. Like, I should probably figure out how to do this properly.
That's crazy that yeah. you got like from learning on your own to like having the tattoos you do today that are so detailed and like so just so accurate and good. Well, like
thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But I mean, what I did was started going to other studios then.
Yeah.
And I had no experience in tattoo studios, like none. I had no experience in a shop. First time I ever did a guest spot, I was there. I had no idea, and I was certain that they were gonna like sniff me out and be like, "This guy does not belong here. Get him out of here." But I walked in and I was like watching everyone like a hawk. I just started figuring it out by watching people. You know, I got the opportunity really early to like watch some phenomenal artists work.
Yeah.
And when I started watching them work and seeing what they were doing, I was like, okay, I need to step this up. So I can relate to that. Like,
yeah.
You know, I wish I had someone being like, don't do that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm grateful, like the same way you're saying, I'm grateful for the opportunity to figure those things out on my own. And
yeah, it brings certain qualities that you wouldn't get if you were maybe under another tattoo artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's funny that you said your first... your first guest spot, and it reminded me of my first guest spot.
Yeah.
It was in Hood 7, actually.
Oh, wow. That's a big one.
Yeah. It was half a year into my tattooing. So I was so a baby, you know?
Wow.
I was so stressed the entire week. I was completely like on edge, you know?
No.
It was also like this super busy week. In the studio, there were some really big guest artists and...
Sure.
A lot of new people, and I'm like this little baby trying to do like a microrealism tattoo like until 2 a.m., you know, freaking out. But it was really nice, for example, because John Montero, who is the owner of the studio.
It's a very sweet person.
Amazing person. He also tattoos very late.
Nice.
So it was really gave me so much affirmation seeing him work the way he work.
Nice.
And be like, okay, this is okay.
Yeah,
I am not
sure.
Like, and I can keep doing, I saw someone big doing that. So I can also like find
rest
my
easy.
Way.
Yeah. So very similar, like seeing other people work and being like, okay, this is fine. Then.
Yeah. It was just funny. Like,
did that affect your tattooing, being that like stressed out and nervous?
You asked me this question this week when I was tattooing, like if I'm stressed, until what point am I stressed?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So I think once I start the tattoo, I'm like, everything is relieved, you know?
Right,
and it's always been like that. So I guess it was like that.
Yeah. Because I mean, I start my days early. Like I start tattooing. My client gets there around 10 and we usually start tattooing around 11:30. Sometimes it's earlier, sometimes it's later.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that, you know, you'll get there and hours you're working on the design and making sure everything is exactly how you want it to be. And I can see how focused and concentrated you are on it. And I wouldn't say you seem stressed, but I think that's like, it just seems like it's the most intense part of the tattoo for you.
Yeah.
And then when I notice, then you start to get your gloves on and you start to put stencil on. I can see it change. Like there's a shift, you know, but like, that's why I was asking. I'm like, at what point does it get like not intense for you? You know,
wow. I never heard someone put it that way. And that's kind of make me feel good in some weird way. And that's interesting because I think a lot of people, when I work at different studios at that part, as you say, of the design until the point I start to put the stencil on, I am very focused.
Yeah.
And I feel some people maybe take it as like, kind of like,
you
know?
Yeah. As if you mean like you're standoffish or don't talk to me kind of thing.
Yeah. But I'm just very focused because, as you said, this is the most intensive part of the day for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you just put it nicely. Like, this is the most intensive part.
For
and
sure.
Once I get started, I'm like, poof.
Yeah.
Easy, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But I would say that with time goes by, this part get more and more, less and less stressful.
Sure.
So, yeah, of course, like 2 years ago, I would be very stressed about it. But today I'm like, I know what will happen. I know everything will be good. So.
Yeah. How much creative liberty do you want in your tattoos? And at what point, like, does the client's input become too much input?
Yeah, so I think my clients understand what I do. So I rarely get an inquiry who is like, I want 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. and they're going to get 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. That never happens. And if it does, I always say how I always explain how I work. And I require full artistic freedom in every tattoo. Wow. So the clients, it is some sort of collaboration, but the collaboration doesn't come in the imagery. It comes behind the scenes in what the tattoo means,
okay.
and the concept of the tattoo. So the clients will bring their story or experiences or their even dreams sometimes or all kind of things in their lives. And
but when it comes to it, the visual,
when it comes to the visual, I ask for complete artistic freedom.
Does that go well most of the time or all the time?
I think it happens to me maybe twice or three times in so far that they were like, no, I really don't want this. And
wow.
Then we just schedule for another appointment and we figure it out a little bit more together.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to be fully transparent with my clients. I always tell them everything up front on how the day will be and how I work. So there are no surprises.
Yeah.
And they know that... Luckily, and I'm very grateful for it, they really trust my art and my vision, and like I have huge appreciation for that. I couldn't do that without my clients.
Can I just say, like, that's spectacular.
Thank
I mean,
you.
That's like, that's amazing that people not only are so trusting, but there's so many people that are willing to trust you with that. And like, that's just a testament to like your art and you as an artist, because not everyone gets that liberty, you know?
Yeah, I'm really grateful for it. Yeah. It's really like I just feel lucky, you know.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah. I feel lucky and
it's more than luck though. It's, you know, it's you
yeah,
as well.
Maybe it's just me trying to be humble. I don't know. But no, I'm really grateful and I also believe it is luck, because I think everything is a bit of luck in our life.
Mm.
Like, I have luck to have, like, you know, these abilities or this ability to put out what I want mm-hmm. to put out. But anyway, I'm really grateful for it. And my clients are truly amazing. And, you know, in return, I give them my all, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So they trust me and I yeah. give them everything I got.
It's amazing, yeah.
Yeah. But I do take a lot of inspiration from my clients. So, for example, if in the story, I think that's something that helps me be very diverse in every design. So I take a lot of motifs from the story itself to symbolize certain things. So if you tell me that in your story there was a moment with a glass of water, I might put that in the tattoo.
Sure.
Or maybe I will put a water element in the tattoo, just to make that personal connection.
What's your long-term plan or goal for your art? And is tattooing involved in that long-term plan?
Yeah. I think for now I don't see myself not tattooing.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I do think I will keep that up for the next years. But I do want to expand myself to different mediums, which I already started to do a little bit. So there is this video art project that we did, the simultaneousness of blooming and withering. And
yeah, tell the audience a little bit about that, because it was really cool.
Yeah, so it came from a really deep desire to do another, just to touch another art medium and to like express myself in other ways than the tattoos. And I collaborated with two of my friends who are incredible photographers, and this flower artist, mm-hmm. a florist. And we created this video art based on one of my tattoo designs. So on the video you can see me tattoo the design, but also like performing on a set that we build. So I also performed on that set and I was the model, And so the tattoo is this image of a person behind a mask with flowers, and like it's giving flowers, and the black drips that are also something that I do often as a motif in my designs.
It looked amazing.
Thank you.
A lot of effort
was put into it.
Go check it out on Instagram. It's really amazing. Is it still pinned on your Instagram?
Yeah, it's pinned, and the photos. It's also my profile still. My profile photo on Instagram as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was also like a magazine came out this month, in Tattoo Life magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So they made an article about it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's like, Mom, I want a magazine. Yeah, it was also presented on Photo Vogue as best of Photo Vogue, which
That's
is
amazing.
Also really
Congratulations.
Cool.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So where does tattooing end up in this?
So yeah, I just want to do more to touch more mediums. Mm-hmm. I would say that my next like goal is to start to paint and to put my designs more into like bigger scales. Hopefully to go forward with it, like... with prints, paintings, maybe even sculptures. And I have like this weird, intriguing, like, pull to performance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very
like,
cool.
Like performance art.
Wow.
Which is kind of what we did in the video as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I
yeah.
performed in it
yeah.
and it was very interesting. And
how do you transition from that? Because one thing that we can all agree on is that tattooing is a great way to fund our lives,
right?
To monetize our art.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you transition from something that gives you that security to something that is more for you, but you still need to survive?
Yeah, I think it depends on the circumstances you're in, right? So I'm lucky enough to be in a time that I'm able to do my art, but I'm not, I don't have any commitments to anything or to anyone. So I'm very much on my own, so I only need to sustain myself and to maybe, if needed, when the time will come, I can also like take on myself to live. Maybe more harshly in order to do something that I'm really
sure.
have a vision for,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So again, it depends on the circumstances,
sure.
I think.
Yeah.
But I think I would say, for my vision at least, I see myself finding a place where I can tattoo and maybe a few times a week or maybe a month and to be able to live off of that as minimum as possible,
yeah.
and then like to with all my spare time to just work on
yeah.
other things. But I still love doing tattoos. I still want to keep doing it. I still
yeah.
have so much more that I want to put in this like field. So I'm still not done yet.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah. There's this very well-known story, I guess, of the fisherman off the dock. Have you heard of this?
No.
I love it because it's very simple, but it's like a very sweet story, and I'll probably butcher it trying to explain it. But basically there's this fisherman fishing off the dock and just loving life. And some businessman comes up and it says like, you know, if you buy a boat, you'd be able to catch more fish.
Oh.
And he goes, oh, well, what would I do then? He's like, well, you can, you know, sell it to more people and make more money, and then you can buy a bigger boat, and then you'd be able to go to other parts of the sea and catch more fish. And he goes, oh, well, what would I do then? And he goes on to say, like, you know, you could basically just keep scaling up, and then eventually you'll reach a point where you can retire with all this money and you do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, what would I do then? He's like, I don't know, you can do whatever you want, you can spend your days fishing off the pier.
Oh.
And it was like, well, that's what I'm doing right now. So it's like...
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like sometimes like the thing that you actually want to get to, you have already, and you have the opportunity to do that already.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just so like caught up in this path to get to that.
Yeah.
That But like you said, for example, it depends on the circumstance. For you, it's like, well, I want to make more art because that's what makes me happy. Mm-hmm. And I don't need more money to make my art. I can just make my art.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Oh, I'm really taken back by this story. It's really beautiful.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I love it so much. I only ask about the tattooing thing because some people see it as just a job. And some people see it as their passion, you mm-hmm. know. I'm somewhere in the middle where, like, I'm very passionate about tattooing. But I'm also, like, well aware that this is my job. And it's not my life. And tattooing is not my life.
I think it's very healthy.
Yeah, I think so too. And I had to learn that. But I have life outside of this. And that's what I want to protect. And I want to, like, you know, do tattooing because it's, like, in my opinion, one of the best jobs ever. Mm-hmm. I love tattooing. And I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. But at the end of the day, for me, it's my job. It's a job. And I don't want to work forever. You know, like, I want to get to a point where... Like, no one wants to work forever, right? You know? but if you have to work, this is, like, a pretty awesome situation for me anyways. But
it is, yeah.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just think, like, I'd like to get to a point where I'd, like, retire early.
And get to that boat with get, the fish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think I would still tattoo every once in a while.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't need to, you know?
Yeah.
Just because it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What's the scale for you for job versus passion? What is that for you in tattooing?
So I think for everyone, there are tattoos that are more for the passion and tattoos that are more for work.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. I do have days where it is my art and I do what I do, but I still come that day and I'm like, okay, today I work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take away from what I do. It doesn't take away from the quality or the how valuable this piece I make the same day, but some days are like that, and as you said, at the end of the day is work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm still learning that. Like, I'm only tattooing for 3 years, and in the last 3 years I put everything I have into tattooing. Like, I just gave it my everything and my all. So, and I'm still on the way to get to where I want to get, so I can maybe that little bit like the boat and the mm-hmm. story that you told, maybe I have what I need right now, but in my feelings I still need to get a certain point that I want to get. I still need to make a road to a certain point that I want to reach.
Sure. Yeah, which is good. I think that's good.
Yeah, again, there's no right or wrong, right?
Right.
But I am aware that I put a lot in these years, that I put more of my life and concentration into my career and work rather than other things.
Sure.
So I'm aware of it. And I'm also accepting it and like, okay with it.
Yeah, because this is the season to do that.
Yeah.
And then you know that eventually you'll reach a different season where that's not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's great. I think that's a good place to be. I actually think there's a lot of tattoo artists that are starting their career that don't have that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you mean, don't have what in mind?
I feel like a lot of people, this is going to sound bad.
Say it anyway.
I've noticed there's a lot of tattoo artists that start off as if they're already 10 years into their career.
What do you mean?
With their work ethic.
Oh, so they have good work ethic?
No.
Or they think they have...
they are almost like coasting already. They're like, I'm, you know what I mean? Like, whereas opposed to, like, I feel like it's a great, like, the first few years of your career should be the time where you're just like, I'm going. Mm-hmm. I'm going hard. I'm going to work late. I'm going to, like, do extra days. I'm going to draw more. I'm going to, like... learn. I'm going to go work with this person. I'm going to travel as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
That's your time to do it. So that in the future, you can be like, okay, I've done that. And I can kind of now just relax, do my thing. Maybe, like, you know, you have all this experience and this work underneath you that has allowed you now to get to, not that you need to go through a hard time, but I feel like when you do that, you are going to get something out of it. You're going to like, you're going to grow from that, you know? And I don't know. I want to make sure I'm saying the right thing, because I think that if you can get really good really fast and things go well for you and you your art blows up and everyone wants to get tattooed by you and you're very successful, great. I'm very happy for people like that. Mm-hmm. In fact, I praise that. I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But it depends on what you want to get out of it.
Exactly. I think it depends on your goal.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the truth.
If your goal is to be the most amazing tattoo artist, like the best tattoo artist in the industry, right, to like be among the greatest and like, I don't know, have a million followers, whatever, do tattoos every day, then yeah, you need to work hard. Right. You need to work every day, late hours, all that you said. But if your goal is to have a calm life,
yeah,
and to, you know, live in your...
See, yeah, exactly.
Then
you're absolutely
why
right.
would you put all that effort?
Totally, yeah. But I'm referring to the people that are frustrated that they're not getting booked. They're frustrated that they're...
But they don't do the...
Right. They're frustrated that they're not able to charge as much as they want. They're frustrated that, you know, things aren't... They're not able to do the projects they want to do.
Yeah.
But they're not putting in any hours or work into, yeah, like, getting there. And it's like...
You know, but I do... Me too, I have some times where I'm stuck with something and I will complain about it for months until like I get to the point where something switches and I change it, or I see someone that understands like how to do it, and then I can kind of draw inspiration from it. So I think we all do that. Of course, we need to like be aware and not to put ourselves in places that we are not there yet.
Yeah.
But
I did it too, by the way. I was like early on in my career doing that. Like being like, I'm fine. I was just like not, I was like, I'm fine. I don't need to get better.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's okay.
It was no, I didn't. I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, again, it depends on your goal.
It depends on your goal. Once I had a like, no, I want to be better, then it was like,
yeah,
I need to, I'm not good. Then I like my perspective changed, and I was like, okay, I can get better.
Yeah, I mean, if you put that in your head that you want to get better, mm-hmm, it's like manifesting, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And also saying like, if you're at stage, if there's stages, yeah, but if you're at level 6 and you want to be at level 10, mm-hmm, you can tell yourself, I'm a level 10, and then, mm-hmm, you'll get to level 10 because you feel,
yeah,
and you believe in yourself that you're at level 10.
Right.
You know, so...
There's some, I said this in a podcast before actually, and I can't remember who said it, but I think it was Oprah, so I'm gonna quote Oprah here. But she said something, whoever it was said something like, luck is where preparation and opportunity meet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
where they collide.
Oh, that's a good sentence.
It's good, isn't,
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
because it's like, it's so true. It's like people might be lucky, but they were prepared for that situation.
Of course. When I got my second tattoo with Kozo, it was when he got back from New York for a month to Israel. And I wanted to start tattooing. I already knew that. And I told him about that.
Mm.
Not in a sense of like to get him to teach me. I didn't even think about it. I just shared with him because I wanted to connect.
Oh. But that led to an opportunity.
And I think what I wanted to say was that there is luck and opportunities, but I really believe in creating yourself the opportunities.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
They're
not going to reach out to you. You reach out to them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And... like, if I would have one advice for other people,
please,
always,
yeah,
is that, like, if you want something, go and get it. Don't sit around and wait for it.
Sure.
You know? I saw an opportunity to get taught from Kozo, which is, for me, like, learning to sing from Beyonce. So it's like, you know, I made it happen, you know?
Yeah.
Everything that I accomplished so far, I think that was my approach with it. I knew I wanted it, so that's the first step, to know what you want.
Absolutely.
And then I just went for it, and I didn't stop until I got it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I have a goal that I'm not going to share right now, but I have a goal.
Tell us.
I have a goal, like I have like this 5 years plan, okay?
Sure.
I have a certain goal and everything that I did so far was to get to that goal. I'm manifesting that goal and that like, it just sits in my brain.
Yeah.
I manifest it and every choice that I make is for that goal.
See, that's where I think it works. That's where I think it works because now all your decisions and your behavior, it's going to even subconsciously play into what that goal is or because you're projected there. Like you have like, I'm headed there. So like if you start to go this way and it's like, well, which path are you going to take here? It's like, well, I'm going to take this one because it's going back to where I want to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's where I think that makes sense to me. That's like real life.
Yeah. And that's like connect with like making your own opportunities
right.
in a way that, you know, you're manifesting it and then you're also taking action for it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any positive and negative impacts on the tattoo industry or the tattoo community over the last few years?
That one really, I like it a lot. Sorry. I like mm-hmm. it a lot that I see more and more artists are like being on their own or
yeah.
more tattoo studios understanding that the artist should be like the main thing and have as much as not individuality, like freedom.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say it? Independence.
Independence, yeah.
Independence. Mm-hmm. And you see much more tattoo artists just working by themselves mm-hmm. or traveling or tattoo studios that are very open and giving a lot of independence to the
yeah.
tattoo artist,
yeah.
which I think it's amazing because even if we go like 2 years ago, it just wasn't like that,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
doesn't make sense in a way.
Let me ask you.
Like, what do you think?
Let me ask you a tough question.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, yes, I completely agree. And I think like we're working and living in a time where things are changing very fast for mm-hmm. studios and the artists, and
yeah.
like the dynamic is changing and switching. However, there are still studios that it still works for them to have. You know what I mean? Like where it still works for the studio is calling the shots. And they're like, no, you are privileged to work with us and to work here. So this is our arrangement. If you want to work here, you have to work under these terms. You're starting to now even see studios have different terms and conditions with different artists, mm-hmm. depending on where they're at,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense to me, but mm-hmm. What do you think it's going to look like now for studios moving forward as that shift continues to happen?
For me, I don't have a tattoo studio. I never did. And so I don't know what it's like to have a studio. And I'm sure there are some things that you need to work in a studio as a studio owner that maybe I, who didn't have one or don't have one, don't understand
mm-hmm.
completely. But I do believe that the artist makes the studio. The studio doesn't make the artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that if you give a person their freedom and comfortability and you let the person to do what they need to do for mm-hmm. themselves and for their art, they will grow much better as a person, as an artist, as a tattooer. And it will eventually bring much more positivity to all sides. It never good in any case to control. And I think that's something that I wish all tattoo studios would understand,
mm-hmm.
you know? If it's, I guess just giving more freedom,
mm-hmm.
I would say, like let tattoo artists do guest spots, that's how they grow.
Mm-hmm.
Let tattoo artists today do like this crazy project that they didn't plan to do,
right.
or even give a free tattoo so they can open the door to a new style,
mm-hmm.
you know, it should be like a studio.
Like a collective.
Yeah, rather than a company.
Yeah.
You know?
You see more and more studios doing rental agreements with artists. And I think that's kind of the idea is mm-hmm. like, look, you do whatever you want. and we're just all here to, you know, pay the bills and pay rent or whatever.
Yeah.
And we all chip in for that. But this is your space and your space and my space. Mm-hmm. And we just like, you know, do what you want. And I think that works. Like, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I think it does also come down to, like, because the same way that an artist has put in the time and work and effort into their brand and their art and, like, their, you know, the way they work, studio owners, depending on how it, you know, how it's set up, have also put in a lot of work and time and effort into that brand.
But that brand is to have other artists in that brand.
Right.
It's not like to create a brand of, like, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. But I do think that, nonetheless, even though that is true, I do agree with you, there's still a dynamic between the clientele and wanting to get tattooed in this studio, because the studio has made a brand and has made a name for themselves.
Yeah.
And so, like, for some people or for some tattoo artists, it would benefit them to be a part of that brand and to be in that studio. Even though they're bringing their own unique style and tattoos to the table, they're still under the umbrella of this brand.
Yeah.
And I think that in that case, I can see how it would be like, well, the studio's like, well, if you want to be in here, this is my these are my terms, you know? In some cases, it makes sense for an artist to invest their early years in their career to a big studio that has this client base and this reputation and this brand already established and developed, because essentially the idea is that you're going into an already paved path for this tattoo artist, where they can, like, now accelerate their career in theory to where they want to be a lot faster. They're around better tattoo artists, they're learning from them, they're getting a bigger profile built from the studio that they're in, and reaching a broader audience. And that's the idea anyway of the studio having the terms like, well, yeah, you can work here, but these are our terms.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't you say that in some cases that makes sense?
Me personally, I don't think it makes sense. I think that today, with the shift that we talked about, these tattoo studios takes more than they give. And I think there is, for example, tattoo studios barely get you clients anymore. It's more from your own profile page.
Why do you think that is?
Honestly, I just think it's an algorithm thing.
Like, you see that too.
You can see that the tattoo studios, they don't share a lot reels, for example, or do, like, the things that that the algorithm, like, that we do or whatever.
You think it's the algorithm?
I think it's part of it. And also, I think it's like a bit of when you go into an Instagram page and you see, like, one artist and you see their work and you see this individual, you tend to more connect. So you follow them or...
Right.
Yeah, but when you see... Usually the tattoo studio pages are more like a collective of people, collective of art. It's usually... I think the good Instagram pages of studios are, like, maybe more reels or have a certain, like... I don't know. I think maybe that.
As we're talking about it, I think that there was a shift. I think for so long, the idea of getting a tattoo meant getting a tattoo at that shop.
Oh, right? So, yeah.
Like, and I think then what started happening was people were like, oh, there's this cool shop, right? It's like, it's just like, oh, when you want to get a tattoo, you go to a tattoo shop.
And then it became like, oh, there's this cool shop.
Tattoo shop.
Okay.
And it was like, oh, wow, look at this cool tattoo shop. Or, oh, they're so different. Or, like, whatever. And I think that got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And then, so then, like, that got all the followers and all the people that were interested. This is my theory anyway. And then they had the pull to be like, all right, we're going to share this tattoo artist on our tattoo shop page.
Uh-huh.
And it worked. Now I notice that it hardly does anything. And it's, like, kind of like crickets. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. they'll post about it. It's like,
yeah, nothing.
No one's there, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, I think it's now because there's this shift happening where people don't care anymore about tattoo shops.
Yeah.
They just care about the tattoo artist.
Yeah, they just care about individuals.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no shade to any tattoo artists out there, but or to tattoo shops.
Yeah.
But I do think that there was like this moment in time before that shift really started happening where like they were like, they had their moment,
yeah.
You know? And I'm wondering, like, is that going away? Like, is the idea of the tattoo shop going away?
Yeah, I think it is. And it's connected to what we talked before about artists want more their independence. And yeah. You can already see that the tattoo shops that don't follow this mindset anymore are slowly fading away, mm-hmm. like, to the background. And the shops that are give that more and give more room to the artist come to the front.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think that's amazing because... Yeah.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, it's how it should be. The artists make the studio, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. The flowers are not for the vase. The vase is for the flower, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah. And I think a tattoo artist that is new and maybe they are tattooing for only 3 months, they don't need a studio anymore to...
What do they need?
To go ahead. They need to... do this and believe in themselves a lot and to just give their all. If they want to reach to a point by themselves where they get clients and are well established and whatever, do whatever you need to do to get to that point.
What are some things you think? What are some things they need to do?
Social media is always a good thing. So we got Instagram and TikTok, which TikTok is like blowing up completely. Mm-hmm. Go on guest spots, make connections, make those opportunities.
Yeah.
Like I started on my own. I made sure that I'm connecting to tattoo artists around Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. Tattoo artists. Also, I want to say that for me, at least, it's very important to stay true to myself. So I always do my best to connect the to people that I have the same values with and mm-hmm. that I see the same eye with, because then I feel most comfortable and I'm enjoying myself.
Mm-hmm.
So make those connections. It's not like a bad word.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
it's
okay.
Important.
For someone then, this is great, because for someone that is early in their career, like what is something that accelerated you in your career? But like, well, what I know you're saying maybe make connections or meet other tattoo artists.
Yeah.
But are those the things that you noticed made the biggest difference for you?
The biggest difference that happened to me during my career was when I talked to another artist and they opened my mind to something.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. From the very start, from Kozo till today, talking to you, for example, our little chess, you suddenly say something and I'm like, oh, right, yeah, I never thought about that before. Like, that's the conversation that mm-hmm. helped me... you know,
yeah.
Go through. Even on Instagram, when someone writes something and mm-hmm. and then you need to kind of pick like what you take away from Instagram and TikTok. But for example, I follow my hairstylists are kind of big on Instagram and TikTok, and and they say like the main thing on their Instagram that they are there for their clients. It's not for themselves, it's for the clients. And I'm like, that's a really good tip, you know?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you take that and you follow it. Yeah, and that's more good. Like an on the surface kind of thing. But it's also like a philosophy on me being a person. Like, yeah, just the biggest shift in my career and on my personal life came from just talking to other artists and other people.
Making relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. That for me is the same, yeah. For as soon as I started being around other tattoo artists, everything changed for me.
Do you feel like that's why you did the podcast a little bit?
You know what? I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think I really did want to connect. I started it during the first set of lockdowns during COVID, and I really wanted to maintain the idea of connecting with other tattoo artists, because at that time I was doing a lot of guest spots before that lockdown happened. So I was meeting artists all the time, and every time I came away from that week or whatever, mm-hmm. I noticed a huge shift in my approach to tattooing. My tattoos were looking better. I was feeling better. I had a clear vision. Every time I would walk away going, oh, that's how I should do my pricing. Oh, that's how I should do my scheduling. Oh, that's mm-hmm. what I should be. That's how I should take photos. you know, or, oh, it's okay to not post every tattoo. Or there's so many things that I just started learning from other tattoo artists that I had no idea about. And, yeah. And what's cool about this podcast is now I get to bring that to other people in a sense, but I still do think go travel if you can,
yeah,
and go work with other artists, ask questions, mm-hmm. be polite, but ask as many questions as you can, mm-hmm. and like soak in, like be a sponge, soak in everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the best way to learn.
Yeah. I think there's, as someone who travels a lot, I think there's a lot of pressure to always like learn and ask and I just want to put it out there that it's also okay to give yourself a moment and just do what you do. Mm. I feel like for me recently, I feel like I'm more like putting out what I learn rather than soaking in. Mm. So I just want to put it out there in the world that it's also okay.
Good. I have one last question for you, and I do ask most of the people that I have on the podcast. Mm-hmm. If there's any tattoo artists that you could think of that you want to get tattooed by?
I got some tattoos from a lot of like my favorite artists, you included.
Thank you so much. What an honor. Seriously, though.
That's an interesting question. Wait, I need to think about that for a moment. I think I would want to get a tattoo from Snuffy, for sure.
Cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. I already got tattoos from my favorites, which is Fountain and another artist named Sorvadio, which is amazing, and Simsa. It's new.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah, oh, and this is Sorvadio.
Wow, this is
new. And this
new.
Is you.
That looks good.
Yeah, oh, actually, we do a little tattoo journey.
Yeah.
This is Kozo, and Fountain is over here.
Unreal.
Yeah, and my really good friend, Noah Tatut from Tel Aviv. But for your question, Snuffy is a good answer. I think that would be
cool.
The next.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll like that.
Huh?
He's going to like that.
Yeah. It's going to boost his ego a little bit. Yeah, you know. It's okay with love. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, thanks for doing this with me.
Thank you,
Jake.
This was
really great. Like, yeah. I feel like, I always feel like every time we chat, it's just like, I feel like I go home feeling good.
Yeah, you know? Me too. I really love tattooing here.
Good.
It's very calm and nice, and Irish people are so sweet. So
good.
I'm definitely going to come again. It's my second time.
Please,
gonna
please.
Going to be a third.
Good. You're always doing like the coolest projects every time you're here.
Yeah,
so,
it's the Irish.
It's the Irish.
Yeah.
But no, thank you. And this has been great. So.
Thank you, Jay.